We have Ryan Andrashak with us today. Remember, we're talking about the Seven Mountains, and Ryan is going to be doing the you're doing the religion mountain, right? Oh, no, I prepared the wrong message. Leave it to your friends to mess with your mind at the worst possible moment. Anyway, Ryan, come on up. This is Ryan Andrashak. Would you guys welcome him, please? He's been with us now for, how many years have you been attending here? What, 4 or 5?
Yeah, 2011.
And came in actually when Jeremiah Miller was here. And we got to know Jolie first and then Ryan. And so it's a twofer package deal here. And so we just welcome Ryan to come and share his heart with all of us. Amen? So just receive him warmly.
All right, am I on? Can you hear me? Well, good morning. So last night, I had contacted earlier this week Josiah Scott and asked him if he could come in this morning and play the drums, and I saw how that worked out. But I knew I was going to be out of town all day yesterday, and so I thought it would be nice, and it would give me a little bit of leeway to relax and get ready and prepare. And then at 8:30 last night, he called and said my car broke down. He said my boss is letting me use his car, and I said, "Oh, good. So you'll be there?" And he said, "No, because I have to use his car to open the store in the morning." So. Yeah, that was fun. I got the full Pastor Eric treatment. I got worship team and preaching this morning. But I want to pray before we get started. If you would pray with me. God, we need you this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you said, where two or more are gathered, you're there, God. I pray that this morning it would be your words, not mine. God, that it would be your message coming through me. And I pray that you would just continually be with us, not just today, God, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout our lives. We thank you for your presence today in your name. Amen. All right, so, yeah, Mountain 4, media. And I don't know if I got this because I'm the young guy, but when, as I started to prepare, I was looking at the Mountain of Media and the Mountain of Entertainment. And it was very tough to differentiate them because really, what are the differences? And I tried to find out who was going to be preaching on the entertainment, and I didn't want to step on their message or anything. But the more I got into it, the more I looked up. I think it's the law in America that if you're going to preach, you have to use Webster's Dictionary at least once. So I went online and I looked up the meaning of media, and it's media is this. The difference is it's mass communication. It's not as much entertainment in terms of watching a TV show, enjoying yourself. It is radio, TV, internet, it's our newspapers, less and less newspapers. But it's the method of getting information to the public. And I mean, right away you can see that's a fairly important thing that you'd want to see Christians in charge of, you'd want to see God in control of. And the people that control the media, you got to understand this. They're controlling what goes in our ears. They're controlling what goes in our minds. They're controlling what we think about throughout the day because a lot of the media happens early in the morning. You see Good Morning America. You see all these shows that they start off your day with news. And so if you consume what the media is presenting, that's what's filtering through your mind, usually all day. And if we let the news cycle impact our lives, then we're at the mercy of whatever they say, whatever they tell us, whatever stories they decide are going on TV, are going through the radio. And so one of the first keys we got to understand is the difference between being informed by the media and being impacted by the media. Because see, you can hear this information and you can filter it in your head and you can think on it and you can decide for yourself, oh, is this good information? Is this bad information? But if you just take it at face value, whatever they say, you're at the mercy of it. We'll talk more about being informed and impacted in a minute, but it's important because in our culture, in America, what the media is presenting is fear and deception, right? If you need to be convinced, I went online and I looked. ABC News released an article of their top news stories of 2014, and I thought maybe I can get something to use, and I was just blown away. I'm going to show you the top five news stories from last year. These are the top five in order from ABC News. Number one, the Ebola epidemic becomes global health crisis. That was the number one story of last year. Number two, does it get any better? Oh, disasters on Malaysian Airlines. Well, now I'm terrified to fly. Number three, fighting in Ukraine and Crimea. It's just getting better and better. The number four story last year, the deadly Israel-Hamas conflicts. Number five, it doesn't even get better at number five. Rise of a brutal new terror group. And so far, this has been one of the top stories of 2015. This will be all over their end of the year thing this year. Those are the top five in order. Also appearing on the list, fatal use of police force in America, Sony hack-ruled international attack. It's filled with fear. It's filled with deception. It's not a one-year anomaly either. The list for 2013 starts with the Boston Marathon massacre, the bombings. It takes you through the Texas fertilizer plant explosion, the sick man in Cleveland who captured those women in his basement, the Syrian gas attacks. It's filled with negativity. It's filled to make you, it's meant to make you dependent on them because you keep coming back wondering, what do I need to be worried about now? So what is our response as Christians? Do we just ignore all media? I've heard so many people say, well, just get away from it. You know, do we unplug? Do we uninstall? Do we climb inside our tinfoil-wrapped bunker and just wait out the media holocaust? Well, I might. I mean, if you guys don't have a tin-wrapped bunker, you're wasting your free time. But it's all based on fear. You know, when Cadence was younger, one of the big things that we talked about, oddly enough, was sleeping positions. You know, we heard media stories about this SIDS epidemic of children that are just, the parents put them to sleep, the parents come back in the morning, and the child's passed away. And we heard endless discussions about, do you sleep your child on the back? Do you sleep your child on his stomach? Do you give them a blanket? Do you just leave them freezing with nothing in the crib? And so the consensus was, as of right now, and this is flip-flopped, you know, 10 years ago it was put your child on his stomach. 10 years before that, it was put them on the back. So we were told, have your child sleep on their backs, and it drops the rate by 10, 15%, the odds of it happening. So we slept her on her back for a few months, and we started listening to her breathing at night, and her breathing was atrocious. We would sit in our bed, and we'd listen to her in the crib just going, and we asked the doctor about it, and they said that she was growing so, if you remember Cadence as a baby, she was a chubby kid. She was growing so fast that when she was on her back, her esophagus was partially, it just couldn't support itself. Everything around her was growing so big, it was compressing it, and she wasn't able to breathe. And instead of thinking to myself, well, let's lay her on her stomach. She's going to breathe. She'll turn her head to the side. She'll breathe. It'll be better. The first thing racing through my head is, but I was told SIDS is going to happen. I'm going to wake up in the morning and my child's going to be gone. Rather than, well, this is an easy fix. I'll lay her on her stomach. She'll breathe. Guess what? We laid her on her stomach. She's still breathing. It's been a year. I don't think she's planning to stop. But see, the response is not to just take it all in, let it just ruin us and cripple us and let us be fearful. Again, impact versus being informed. Do we need to know about stuff like that? Yeah, absolutely. We started her on her back because that's what seemed like it was going to be the best. Do we need to know about ISIS? Absolutely. Do we need to know about the churches being burned in Africa? Absolutely. We need to be able to know so that we can give, we can pray, we can go over, we can help. Do we need to know about Ebola? You better believe it. But look at how that was presented. See, at the point when the U.S. had one person that had a case of Ebola, I was watching the morning news, and it was like they were predicting we were going to be living in like a zombie USA in like a week. We had one person in the country with the disease. There were months where, I mean, we would go buy groceries and the cashiers were like, have you been out of the country recently? We still get asked that all the time. You couldn't go anywhere. So do we respond by just cowering in our houses? Do we make everyone who knocks on our door go through like one of those decontamination showers? I think that'd be fun. But no, I mean, look what the Bible says. Okay, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I'm going to read that again. Who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Have any of you ever fed ducks or birds or pigeons? You ever thrown them bread? Raise your hand if you've ever fed pigeons. I remember going to my grandma's as a little kid, and down the road she had this farm that had a ton of ducks in it, and we would just go when I was four, I was like throwing whole loaves of bread. I would just take the loaf and wing it into the duck pen. But it's a very common thing. Yeah, I don't think that was healthy for the ducks. When was the last time that you fed a duck or you fed a bird and it asked you if the bread was gluten-free? You feed a pigeon and it says, is this non-GMO food? Their view of their food and their surroundings and their environment, they're not influenced by anything going on around them. They're not influenced by the caloric makeup of their food. Those last two verses you've probably heard 100 times. I want to read them one more time, but it's so important to hear them again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That doesn't mean don't plan for tomorrow. That doesn't mean, you know, I ignore Josiah's phone call and come in at 9 and find out there's no drummer. But does that mean I have to stay up all night figuring out the exact drum strokes I need to use and how it's going to work with me coming out of the cage and going down? No. You cannot worry and be consumed with the future and be living and active and engaged in the present. As far as the deception side of the media goes, about 5 years ago, wow, that makes me feel old. About 5 years ago, I had a brief winter job in between semesters working at Target during the Christmas rush. I started the day before Thanksgiving, and I was working Black Friday. 2 days later, that was baptism by fire. That year, see, the media had said the big toy of this year is Zuzu Pets. Have you ever heard of those? If you haven't heard of a Zuzu Pet, picture a rabbit's tail with wheels. It was supposed to be some kind of hamster, and you would like pull it back, and it's like one of those old school toys that you pull it back and it'd zoom across the floor. That's what it was. It was like, it looked like a furry hot dog. No store in America could keep them on the shelves because the news media said, this is the big toy. It was bad. But see, we were told if you're a good parent, you're going to get Zuzu Pets for your child. I broke up fights in the Barbie and Zuzu Pet aisle over a rabbit's tail with wheels on it. I'm not getting fights. Ladies pushing each other over a Zuzu Pet. Because they had been told, if you love your child, you're going to get them a Zuzu Pet. We're told this every year. Every year there's a new toy. I remember when I was a kid, it was scooters. We were told two things. If you love your child, you're going to get him a scooter. Then the next day it was, if your child rides a scooter, he's going to break his ankle. I thought that was cool, so I wanted a scooter even more. I got a scooter, and I almost broke my ankle. It was bad. But see, compare that to the way Christians respond to Christmas. For the last 8 or 10 years, There's a person in my Jolie's hometown of Elmira that started an organization called the Arctic League, and they spend their entire year collecting presents that people are just, they donate presents to them. It's kind of like, you know, similar to the Goodwill Salvation Army. They collect donations, and then they spend the other part of their year finding people that don't have any money to get their parents or to get their kids presents. Elmira's a very poor city. And they find hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And on Christmas morning, people from the community come in and they take these huge, I mean, trash bags. They're like the industrial trash bags that sit to here on you. And they fill it up for, you know, an age-appropriate thing. It's like Operation Christmas Child, like in terms of they find a child, their age, they fill up a bag, and families come in and you take them and you get an address and you drive it to their house, and you are literally Santa Claus. My family's been doing it for about 8 years. But here's the thing. It's gotten so big that they used to open their doors at 6:30 a.m. and you could show up at 6:15 and you could go in and you could get a bag of toys and you could send it to a family. As of last year, the line to get into the Arctic League to deliver presents to kids that can't afford a single thing goes out the door of the Arctic League, down a block 200 yards, down there 400 yards, and around the whole block. If you don't show up at 3 or earlier in the morning, on Christmas morning, you're not getting to deliver presents. The majority of the people in those lines we know because they're represented throughout the churches in the area. It's amazing. They've chosen to say, you know what? We don't even care if our Christmas gets started early. My family goes home and we sleep and we start our Christmas late in the morning because we got there at 2:30 in the morning. They're combating this image that to have a good Christmas, you have to load your child up on their own gifts, and they're saying, we're going to spend our time giving to other people. That's the difference between what the media is presenting and what the church should be doing. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, the only reason I haven't gone in the last 8 or 9 years is I work now on Christmas. But the difference is a complete 180. I work in an assisted living home on the Christmas mornings, and the residents there, I get there at 6:30 in the morning, and Good Morning America comes on at 7, and so I get to watch it every day. And man, I cannot stand it. I get to watch it every morning because I don't have a choice. You see, if I absorb everything that they tell me in the morning, I'd be afraid of oil shortages, terrorists, flying, aneurysms. I've heard so many stories on aneurysms. I'm just... diseases, getting trapped under snow piles. Have you seen those stories this year? I'd be afraid of electronic hacking, electronic surveillance, electronics themselves. They ran a story about cell phones blowing up in people's ears. I'd be afraid of our own police force, our own healthcare system, on and on and on. But if I listen to God, you know what I hear? I hear 1 Peter 5:7. He says, cast all my anxieties on him because he cares for me. You hear Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you listen to God, you hear Psalm 23:4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when you think about that verse in the light of ISIS, of these terrorist groups, of what's going on in Africa with them burning churches, like you told us about a month or two ago. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In our 4:12 youth group on Thursdays, we've been doing a chapter-by-chapter study of leadership through Nehemiah, and it's been amazing. In chapter 4, which was, at this point, almost 2 months ago, we're just about done. In chapter 4, the Jews are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And there's a group of people that don't want that wall to be completed. And they start out in the chapter and they're mocking the Jews. And when the rebuilding continues, they get really, really mad. And they send this message and they threaten the Jews and they say, we're building an army. We're going to come in there while the wall is not complete yet. We're going to kill you. We're going to stop the rebuilding effort. That's a scary piece of media. That sounds like a lot of the messages that were being sent today by the terrorist groups. You know what they did? Did they run away? Did they stop the efforts? First thing they did, they turned to God in prayer. I love that part. That's the first thing that you read that they do. But then they get prepared without fear. You see, they've been informed of the threat, but they're not living their life impacted by it. They post guards. They have, actually, what they do is when they're building, so if I was building the wall in Jerusalem, they thought the attack was so imminent that if I was building, working on this section right here, Jolie would stand here and Cadence would stand here because they were so afraid they were going to be attacked so quickly that you would immediately have to be able to protect your family. And so they would stand there and play and Jolie would work and make food or whatever the women were doing at that time. Even the builders, while I was building the wall, I would be building with one hand and I would have a sword in my hand with the other. So anything that needed two hands or four hands, two people jobs, that took four people. You could not put your sword down. See, they prepared. They had a plan, and then what do they have to worry about? It never happened. It's a complete 180 from what we're being presented today through the media. Our media says, fear everything and rely on our government to keep you safe. But God says, fear nothing because my government is eternal and my military has never lost and my love is overwhelming and my victory is complete. Fear nothing. So, how do we change this image that the media has been presenting us? How do we bring about change? How do we take our peace, our security through godly living? And how do we mold the media into that image? I can't stress enough as I start this that the answer is not to take the hermit crab approach and just retreat into a shell, not respond, and just say we're going to wait out the storm. I started recently, I'm working on getting started with, there's actually a Christian media company in Ithaca, New York called New Vine Media. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. They're amazing. Their mission is to remold media into one that's the image of God. They have a recording studio. They're starting up some writing stuff, and they asked me to start writing for them. And I went up to their studio to meet with them as this process was starting, and they asked me about my writing style and what I plan to do, and they had this whole meeting, and I was talking to their CEO and their CFO. COO, CFO, whatever. I was talking to some people with initials. And CFO. It was a CFO. He asked me about my writing style. And I said that at least for now, I've shied away from political topics. And I said the reason is, I thought I had a good reason. I said the reason I'm shying away from political topics is if there's people that disagree with me, I don't want to turn them off immediately and have them not be able to hear anything that I say at all. I thought that was a pretty good reason. That was my logic. And the CFO, his name is Casey, and I just met him that day, and this guy is, he's a man. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, this is the approach that we have here. He said, if you don't fill the airwaves with the words of God, the enemy is going to come in and fill them with his words. That we have a responsibility to speak the truth. And, I mean, isn't that what's happening in our media today? Anytime that we take a break, it's being filled with fear, deception. This is what you should be afraid of today. I listen to that 5 times a day. This is the new health scare. They open up almost every morning, top story is something negative. But see, our first step is found in Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Step one to making change is renew your mind. You can't bring change unless you've been changed. This principle is applied in just about every area of life. You know, in order to coach, you have to know how to coach. In order to teach, you have to know how to teach. You can't just walk into a classroom and just start saying things and expect that what's coming out of your mouth is going to be helpful to the people around you. It's really, really easy, though, to think that this step we've already got covered. Anytime you see something that begins with a step of being changed yourself, we tend to move past it and go, well, I'm a Christian. I've got it. My mind is renewed because I'm a Christian. But is it? Is it really? This is an ongoing thing. See, let's look one chapter further. Romans 12 says, I'm sorry. Romans 12 says, be renewed in your mind. Romans 13, look at the first three verses. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. It's not a huge leap for me to assume that in a largely Republican Christian church, there's probably not a high percentage of people in here who are great admirers of our current political system, our current president. But see, if we're living with renewed minds, if we're living by the word of God, what we just read, see, you may not agree with our president, but living by the Bible, you better respect his authority. You can't say you've got a renewed mind, a mind that's on the things of God, and then go on Facebook like I see almost daily and find people that I grew up with, that I had respect for and am quickly losing it, that are just bashing him nonstop. I have friends that are the children of pastors that have grown up in a church their whole life, that have heard these things preached their whole life, that are posting things on Facebook about how it would be better if he just died. That's not a renewed mind. That's a dead mind. Because see, Romans 13, 1 through 3 says, there is no authority except that which God has established. Do you think that President Obama's appointment was a shock to God? Take it further. Do you think that that wasn't part of his plan? You've got to renew your mind. There is no authority except that which God has established. That first step is crucial. See, we can't bring change until we've been changed. We can't sit on the couch for 4 hours and watch and take in and absorb the media after we get done with work and then expect to go out and change it. We've got to be changed ourselves. The second step is very practical. We have to train up godly Christians of influence to take roles in the media. But I want you to see the key word in this is not influential. The key word is godly. There are plenty of influential Christians, and the majority of them, once they got influential, have made it all about themselves. That is a huge problem because not only have we lost the ability for them to fill the role that we should be filling in the church, but now the people who are not in the church, people who are not Christians, people who are looking to see what we're all about, are seeing the influential people that are not doing things the right way and assuming this is what the Christians believe. We have to train up godly, influential Christians. We need Christians who are trained in media, trained in public speaking, trained in recording arts, that can point everything upward and not inward. I grew up listening to a Family Life Network. Any fans of Family Life Network? I love it. I love it. I would listen to the Family Hour growing up. When I was like 10 or 11, we used to listen to Chip Ingram preaching I think it was like around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the benefit of being homeschooled. You can do whatever you want. As long as you tell mom I'm listening to preaching, she's like, yeah, that was awesome. I grew up listening to Chip Ingram all the time. But see, their airwaves all around New York and Pennsylvania, the airwaves are being filled with the message of Christ through Family Life, through things like K-Love, increasingly through places like New Vine Media. They're all bringing glory to God. And you know what? The news hour on FLN is not focused on fear. It's focused on informing you and then offering the godly response. It's amazing. Going back to what Pastor Eric has been saying throughout the whole series, FLN is taking dominion over the airwaves. How do they do that? Look at their staff. They have trained godly, influential people on their staff. They have news people that have been trained. They have meteorologists that are trained. They have sportscasters. I really wanted to do Randy's job when I grew up. That was my thing. Randy the sports guy, I wanted to be him. They have pastors, even things like their accounting staff, their recording professionals for the stuff they do. They are trained to impact media for Christ. But here's the key. It can't stop there. We can't sit back and just take in FLN, take in K-Love, and say, well, they've got it covered. It has to continue. It has to move forward. See, we need Christians of influence that are taking key roles at ABC, at NBC. We need Christians sitting behind those news desks when you turn on the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news. It's not dominion to shut down the networks. It's dominion to remove the negativity and replace it with the message of Christ. We're not like anarchy. We're trying to shut off all TV. We're trying to shut off all radio. We're trying to change it. We're trying to take dominion back and use communication, the tool that God has given us, to talk to each other, to communicate, to share news, to share information, to fellowship. We're trying to take that and rework it so that it's all positive, it's all fulfilling, it's all beautiful. I'd love to see next year, when I look up the 2015 ABC News review, I'd love to see something positive in those top five. But that doesn't happen if the same people are in charge of the media. It's not going to change. I just showed you, it doesn't change 2013. It didn't change back in 2012. As a matter of fact, as far back as ABC's been doing their year in review, their top stories are all stuff where if I read it and I'm impacted by it, I can't fly anymore. I can't go outside my house. I would be like, I'd be like Monk, the TV show. That's who I'd be if I let the media influence me. And finally, the third step, we have to remember and we have to glorify the one who has the true dominion. Yes? God's power and influence working through us is the way that we bring change. I don't think I need to remind you, we lack the ability to breathe, we lack the ability to take a step apart from God. And change comes only through Him. Because there's a danger when we start thinking about things like dominion, especially in terms of the media. Like I said, we start thinking, well, we need to go in, we need to shake things up, we need to get people in, and NBC, shut it down and make it Christ Broadcast Company, CBC. See, we have that creeping feeling that means that we need to take over media and we need to use it as this iron fist of just, if you say anything that's not right, we're just going to pound you down. We substitute the rule and the word of God for the things we think are important. And that's how you end up with a media group that's sending the message of, like, the Westboro Baptist Church. Picketing people, telling people that God hates them. We take charge and we influence the media as God reigns and He rules through us. Because you know what happens when communication is used to promote mankind and not to promote God? Look at Genesis 11 with me. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. That is the ultimate media. That is a media person's dream. Everybody speaks one language. As the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. That's not the important part. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves." Listen to this. "Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." So the Lord scattered them from there all over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Look at the middle of this section, this passage. What drove the people to make the kind of prideful decisions they did? It was fear. There's nothing new under the sun. They said, "If we don't build this city, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." That message that you got from your news channel this week is the same message that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. See, there's no voice to say at that time, "We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power." And God said, "That's enough." And He confused their language. See, more than ever, through social media, through the internet, through things like call into radio shows, we have the opportunity as Christians to present a unified front to make a change in the media focus in our culture. And rather than take the time and post junk on Facebook, see, I'm guilty of this too. Most of the Facebook things that I post, I try to be humorous. I'm wasting a lot of potential time influencing my media circle. I'm just trying to make people laugh. I like making people laugh. I waste a lot of time doing that. You know, with the rise of Twitter, with the rise of like Instagram, have you noticed Facebook has started doing these trending hashtag things too? The cool part about this is, think about this. What's promoted is the stuff that's talked about the most. That's what Facebook literally says. Here's what's being talked about. Harrison Ford plashed his crane, his plane. It's featured because that's what people are talking about. See, what if we got together and we started talking about the things of God? What if we all started posting scripture on our walls? What if we all started posting uplifting messages on our walls so that the country is filled with and Facebook is filled with and Twitter's filled with the things of God? I'd love to see that trending feed. And 2 weeks ago, I was back in my hometown in Elmira. I was back there for a conference. Jolie and I went back. And one of my closest friends was doing a seminar on being rooted in God's Word. And he was talking about Facebook again. And he said, my best friend on all of Facebook is the unsubscribe button. He said, since I started using that liberally, my Facebook feed is filled with only scripture, with only uplifting messages, because the only people that I still subscribe to the things that they say on Facebook are the people that are saying these things. That got me really excited. I had never thought about that before. I went home and I unsubscribed from everyone. I went home and I unsubscribed from a lot of people, and I'm telling you, my Facebook feed has never been filled more with the things of God. We need to be promoting the things that are like Philippians 4:8. Things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, lovely, admirable. These are the things that should be trending on our social media. These are the things that should be being talked about, stories like this, when we turn on Good Morning America in the morning. The secular media wants you in fear. They want you dependent on secular establishments to get your comfort, to get your peace, to get your security. God's word says we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love, and listen to this, a sound mind. That's that training, a sound mind. Now, I want to finish up real quick by showing again those three steps, because they're so important. We have to be changed again in order to enact change. We need to be trained in order to act changed, in order to enact change. See, I can't walk into the ABC studios and say, give me a spot on your anchor desk, because all they have to say is, do you know how to be an anchor? And then I put my head down and I walk back out the building because I have no idea what I'm doing. If this is not you, if you are not called to be in the media, to be on TV, if you're not called to be on the radio, if you're not called to be in a recording booth making Christian music, help someone who is. This is fellowship in the body of Christ. Places like New Vine Media, places like even FLN. Have you ever seen the FLN Share-a-thons? They're supported by the whole unified body of Christ. It's amazing. I started listening to it years ago. And their goals for the Share-a-thon was like $200,000, $300,000. Last time I listened to a Share-a-thon, they were raising like $2 million every 6 months. It's amazing. It's unification in the body of Christ, because we're saying we want this message being promoted. And we have to be in harmony with God. We have to have Him working through us in a mighty way if we want to enable that change. I want you to pray with me as we close. Lord, we thank you for the ability to communicate. We thank you for the language that you've given us. We thank you for the different ways that people communicate, God. We thank you for our tongues, even though they're dangerous, God. They're so powerful. And we pray in victory, knowing that you are in control of the media. You are in control of our government, God. You're in control of all of these. And we're agreeing together today that we want to see this change, God. We want to see the media filled with positive messages, the media filled with your message. And we pray as we commit that we would do our part, God. We would help people that want to take a career, a place in this industry, God. We pray that we would just take steps to cleansing the ways that we interact with our media, God. We pray that we would just be living in victory, God, because you have overcome it. We've not been given a spirit of fear, God, and we live in victory through you. In your name, amen. Thank you.